Welcome to Global River Church's Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoyed today's message. For more information about this podcast and additional resources, please visit globalriver.org.
I got a text this morning from our missionaries in Mozambique who have been there for 21 years. And Kent and Andrea, apparently this week he was jumped in town. People were trying to rob him, trying to get his phone. He put a guy in a headlock and wouldn't let go until the guy gave him his phone back. Then the mission base was broken into and they stole stuff out of the mission base. So Andrea has been with the police department this week. So keep our missionaries lifted up. We had an amazing gift come in also, I'm told, or is on its way in. In our churches in Nepal, we have 108 churches in Nepal, and I think 8 or 9 house churches that one day will be churches. And can you imagine going into a church with a, it's got a grass roof, and during the rainy season where it rains continuously, trying to sit in church with the dripping water coming through. So we've been able through many times to build, to actually, especially the churches in the Himalayas, it takes about 7 hours by Land Rover to get up into the Himalayas where many of our churches are. Some of them have never seen Western missionaries for years. And we've been there, and praise God. And so we just had a gift come in anonymously. I don't know who these people are, but donated to put in a one of our existing churches had an old roof, needs to be replaced for $2,000, $1,500 for one of the grassroots churches roofs. And then during the rainy season in the village, people come to the church because it's dry. Hello, sounds like a strategy, right? And so I just thank God for what he's doing. House of Mercy, I don't know how many families we had in House of Mercy. I think it was the week before, it was almost 100. We actually ran out of food this past week. They were still coming. So thank God for all that he's doing. If you can remember to bring in canned goods or whatever. We want to be the hands and feet to those that need help, and I just thank God. So let's pray. Lord, I thank you. You're an amazing God and a Father. You're a good, good Father. And so all of the mysteries and all of the battles, Lord, we never know when life will be over. Lord, we thank you this week. We heard that one of our great friends and intercessors, David Wiley, suddenly did not wake up. His children found him. There'll be a memorial service for him next Saturday in Princeton, North Carolina. It's quite a ways, but I talked to his wife, Jamie. It was a shock, and to put all, so we lift up, we know where David is. We also know that some of you heard this week that one of you had a coworker just die. Heard this morning, Lindsey Graham, the senator from South Carolina, died last night. Came back from the Ukraine on Friday and then Saturday night. So we never know when this journey in life is over, but we want to be in a place we are like the trees planted by the water. We know the truth. So this morning, Lord, I ask that I would be able, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to convey the truth, and not one person will leave this place that doesn't know you. And we thank you, Lord, for your grace that is sufficient, more than enough. In Jesus' name, amen. So we've had an amazing week. It's been a full week. I want to ask some questions. If you want to, we're having the Spanish translation. Pastor Nilsa, she's an amazing woman. She's translating. So our team that is not bilingual at this point, we'd like you to tune in there. The title that this morning is called The Keepers of the Kingdom, which has been the title all week with our children, standing in the book of Ephesians, putting on the full armor of God. So there are many worldviews. Everyone sitting in this room has a worldview. We have a biblical worldview. If you're a Christian follower of Jesus, you have a biblical worldview. If you're an atheist, you have a worldview. If you're from another faith, you have a worldview. So let me ask you some biblical questions, those who have a biblical worldview. And children, you learned some of this week. So when we say that, who created all things? Jesus created all things, right? Genesis 1, 31 says, God created everything. He said, in the beginning, he created all things. Colossians, we'll look at that in a little bit. Did God create all things good? Yes. He did, right? In fact, he created all things, and he's totally good. He's always good. Now, here's the challenge. If God created all things. Why is there evil in the world? Why are there bad things? So we understand this is a scripture you can look up in Isaiah 14, chapter 12, and Ezekiel. We're not on the outline yet, so hang on. Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14 said God created Lucifer. Lucifer was the morning star. He was a great worship leader in heaven. But guess what? He was good. It says in Ezekiel 28, verse 15, Lucifer was blameless until sin and wickedness was found in him. So here's the challenge. God didn't create Satan. Lucifer, because of his sin, became Satan. So let me ask a question, kids. Do we have free will choices? Can we choose? Yeah, we can choose, right? Everybody has a choice. In fact, it is probably the greatest gift God gave us. This is where people get all tripped up. Why does God allow this? When you look at all the situations of life, sin has come into the world and it sets up the circumstances of evil. So Satan, because of his choices, Lucifer became the one who was wickedness, but God created him good. But here it gets even more challenging. In fact, when you look at all the will, I get asked all the time, why is God allowing this to happen? He gives us free will choices, but at one point, he's going to roll this thing out. When he says it's done, it's going to be done. And we'll see that in a bit, but we'll see, you know, we believe we're living close to those, at least the fulfillment of that. So when we see what's in the world, we shouldn't be surprised that wickedness and evil is here. And don't blame God for the wickedness. He gave the angels free will choices. In fact, we'll look at this later, but Revelation chapter 12 makes probably the greatest clarity. People say, well, where do demons come from? Where does darkness start? Read your word. Revelation 12 says this, there was a war in heaven, and the devil, the archangel, Satan, and one third of the angels rebelled against God. See, angels have free will choices as well. Now, this dude, Satan, he is a deceiver. He's really good at it. And he deceived one third of the created angelic realm to rebel against God because Satan says, I want to be God. That's pride and that's arrogance. And we humans generally battle against that. And so when he said, I'm going to be like God, and then he did, I don't know how long it took. How do you convince one third of the angels of heaven to side in war against God? And God said, I'm done with this. He commissioned the archangels, Michael the archangel, and there was a war in heaven. Revelation 12 says there was a war in heaven. There's wars going on right now, and there was a war in heaven, and it says one third of the angels were thrown out. That's the good news. The bad news is, guess where they landed? They landed on earth. So when you see all the darkness and some of the stuff that happens, that makes no human sense. That is demonic darkness. Some of this stuff is just so bizarre. And so we see that this war in heaven, but then he goes on, he tells us in that same chapter of Revelation 12, it has happened at last, that God has defeated the devil. And then he lists three things. Who can tell me what those three things are? The blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and the love relationship. There's a threefold thing that defeated the devil. First of all, Jesus came in and said, I'm going to redeem where this sin is gone. And he became the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. So by the blood that was shed on the cross, Jesus made the way for us. But now you got to testify. This is your free will. You have a testimony. You won't be, oh, well, I believe in Jesus. So does the devil. The question is, are you following Jesus? When I go out and witness, I ask people, and I asked them this week when we took Katie up to Duke, I asked the nurse, are you a follower of Jesus? And you'll find out right away, well, you know, I was raised in the church, but I'm not now. And well, I believe, but, you know, the question is, the blood that was shed opened the door. Your testimony in Christ is your testimony. But then there's a relationship. It says they didn't even love themselves. Revelation 12, they didn't even love themselves even unto death. And when you look at the martyrs, they say now there have been more Christians martyred in the last 5 years than at any other time in the history of the world. Look at what's going on in Nigeria and in Africa, in places where there are people paying a price. So in our worldview, we know that there is darkness, but we also know this. There are two kingdoms that are at war. There's only two kingdoms. What are they, kids? The kingdom of and the kingdom of darkness. You're right. There's two kingdoms. We hammered that really hard, and you had the skits this week, and we saw it. So what do? We put on the full armor of God, right? The helmet of salvation, right? The belt of truth, which is Holy Spirit. The gospel of peace, the shoes. The sword of the Spirit. The shield of faith. And the breastplate of righteousness, right? So we put on the full armor to stand. So if there's two kingdoms, I've asked our guys, I'm going to ask them to tee up. There was a movie I watched years ago. It's called The Kingdom of Heaven. There's a small clip here I'd like to focus us on. So as they tee this up, take a look at, just to set the tone, there's a war going on in Jerusalem. And there's a war against the evil ones and that which is righteous. But they need people that will stand for the kingdom. So let's see this. Be brave in the face of your enemy. So we saw, the background of that story, the knight that was there, the single knight, his father was a knight, so he came down. He was actually a blacksmith, and he found out that his father was a knight. Years later, his father found him, and he is a knight. But what is it about knight being one who follows Christ? It's a belief system. It's not about bloodlines. It's not my grandparents and grandma, they were Christians, so they're... No. It is only by your own free will choice. And does taking a declaration or a belief in a testimony that you're one who's a keeper of the kingdom make you a better keeper of the kingdom? Yes. Because it's here. It's the heart issue. And so when we look at this, so now take a look at your outline. We see from this clip that there's a war between good and evil. The battle between the religion, the religious guy comes there and says, "We don't have any knights." And does making a man a knight make him a better fighter? Yes. What you believe that I can fight this battle in the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, it makes you because of the belief, right? Greater is he that's in me than he that's in this world. So as keepers of the kingdom, which, by the way, every one of us sitting here, if you're a believer in Christ, you're a child of God, you have to keep the kingdom. It's been said that you can lose the kingdom in one generation. If we don't invest in this next generation, and they are facing battles that we never faced. I asked them the other day, we were having our teaching, and I have the 10 to 12-year-olds, and I said, "What are your challenges in your schools?" And I started to hear things like, "Oh my gosh, we got to pray for them, we got to keep them lifted up, we got to have those who will volunteer." We're always looking for people that will volunteer, especially you grandmas and grandpa. It would be great to take what you've learned, the scars of life, the better things that you've learned now, and invest them in our children's ministry, in our youth ministry. You don't need to sit on the sidelines. What you carry and what you have in the truth. So when you look at this, the keepers of the kingdom, take a look at your outline. At the top it says, throughout the Bible is a theme of the two kingdoms. The kingdom of God, light, and the kingdom of the devil, which is darkness. God is the light that came into the world to save those who received Jesus. The darkness is real and evil is evident, but the kingdom of God has come. Matthew 4:17. In fact, Jesus said, "The kingdom is at hand." The kingdom, some have said, the kingdom is now and not fully yet. It's being, at some point, we read in Revelation chapter 21, this thing is going to be over. When you look at all the signs of everything that are happening, you'd almost have to be totally not following any scripture to understand this thing is marching to a conclusion. And so there's so many signs. We've we preached on that, taught on that before. So if you look at it, the two kingdoms there, number one, Jesus rescued us from the kingdom of darkness. In fact, he said in the second part there, John 3, let's open your scriptures, open the sword, which is the word of God. Let's open to John's Gospel, chapter 1. The children just told me that God created all things in the beginning. Well, John writes this in his latter years. John is the only, you talk about giving your life for Christ. Every one of the 11, the only one who was not martyred was John. All of the others, and how many others? Stephen, Paul, they all gave their lives. We have from history, from Josephus and others, that we know Paul was beheaded in Rome by Nero. Because he was a Roman citizen, they allowed execution quickly. If you were not a Roman citizen, you were crucified or you were burned, dipped in oil and burned. In fact, it said Nero lit up the whole area of Rome at times with burning Christians on stakes dipped in oil. You know about the history of them in the Colosseums being fed to the lions. Whole families would not renounce. So we know from the beginning, John writes this in chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, John's Gospel. In the beginning, the Word already existed. Well, who's the Word of God? Jesus, right? So in the beginning, Jesus already existed, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning. God created everything through him. Nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness. I love this next verse. And the darkness can never extinguish it. Can never extinguish the light. He's the true light. Drop down to verse 12. But all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn. That's why we say you need to be born again. Look at verse 14. So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And John says, we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father and the only Son. John the Baptist goes on and says in verse 13, he says, he existed before I ever was. John was just the forerunner. If you turn to the chapter 3 of that gospel, where Nicodemus, there was a religious guy. We saw a religious guy in this clip, right? He goes, religion, it's not about religion. It's never going to be about religion. It's always that place of relationship of the heart, right? And so there was a religious leader named Nicodemus who saw Jesus doing the miracles. So in John chapter 3, look at verse 3. Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. He's talking to Nicodemus at night. Unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. What do you mean? How can I go back and go into my mother's womb, do this, and be birthed again? As Jesus says, I assure you, I tell you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and but the Holy Spirit. So we see this, again, Jesus describing, there's only one way. I had this question in the class, and actually some of my youth got it wrong. I said, so does being good get you into heaven? Can you be good enough to get into heaven? There is nobody good enough. So I asked him, I said, so, well then, how do we get in? You must. Not like, well, I sure hope so. I hope you'll get it someday. No. I prayed with people on their deathbed, this close. I've actually prayed with people, my wife and I too, that they rejected Christ on their deathbed. Such a sad testimony. He said, unless you're born again, you can't see it. In fact, here's the amazing thing. Paul goes on and tells us, until you're born again, the preaching of the gospel, the truth, sounds like foolishness. And as soon, it's amazing, some of you have this testimony, I know it was mine. As soon as I asked Christ into my life, it was like he pulled back the veil and I could see And we're all on a journey of seeing more, seeing as you journey through life, right? Ascending the hill of the Lord, he says in Psalm 24. So when you look at what Jesus said, let's turn to Colossians, go to the right, after Philippians, to the church letter at Colossians. That was a church plant off of Ephesians. And he writes this to the church at Colossians, and we'll begin, let's look at verse 12 of chapter 1. Colossians, I love to hear those pages turning. Learn the word, learn where it's at. Look at this whole thing where Paul is describing to the church at Colossians the gift that God gave them. Let's pick up in verse 10, Colossians chapter 1, verse 10. The way you live will always honor and please the Lord in your lives. See, lifestyle matters and will produce every good kind of fruit. All the while you'll grow as you learn to know God better and better. We pray that you'll be strengthened with all glorious power. That's why when we ask for people, you need strength, come to the front. So Paul was praying, says, I'm going to pray that you'll be strengthened with glorious power, that you'll have the endurance and the patience. This is perseverance. There are fights in your life right now. You've got to persevere through, right? Verse 12, always thanking the Father, he has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to the people who live in the light. Living in the light. Now look at this verse. He rescued us from the kingdom of darkness, and he transferred us to the kingdom of his dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. King James says it this way in verse 13. It says, he delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us to the kingdom of his dear Son. Translated, transferred. When we see people that come for ministry or deliverance who are struggling with addiction and brokenness and pornography and all kinds, they come and they say, I'm sick of this. I want to be set free of this. And when the power of God comes, when they ask God into their life, that's why the recovery rate of the heroin addicts and the prostitutes that we minister to in Battelle, and the recovery rate for those people who are walking in the Holy Spirit is much greater than the millions and millions of dollars. In fact, the Spanish government told my friend Elliot Tepper, how is it that your people that you bring into your ministry to be set free from heroin addiction and prostitution, how come the recovery rate from your people is so much greater? So they sent a reporter, a non-believing reporter, to follow their ministry. Find out, because they're saving the Spanish government millions of dollars. Go find out what they're doing. This guy, in fact, they wrote a book. They wrote several books on it, but there was one of them is we dance because we cannot fly. This guy was sitting in the ministry which we preached in, and Pastor Lisa's preaching. Many of us have been there, and it's one of the largest evangelical churches in Spain. And so they were doing this invitation of this reporter to go find out why, and all of a sudden, all these ex-addicts, ex-prostitutes, some 1,200 strong sitting in the congregation. When worship started, all their tattooed and broken teeth, they got up and they just started worshiping God. And the technical guy sitting there like, he turned to the one they call the thick one. He was the first convert from a drug addiction on the streets of Madrid. He sat there, he represented him. He ended up dying of AIDS before the medication and all that came out. The technical guy turned to the thick one. He said, what are they doing? Why are they dancing? He says, we dance because we cannot fly. They know what a sentence of heroin addiction and prostitution, the darkness, the brokenness, the evil, the abuse, the trafficking. They knew all about that. And they had come to a place, Jesus has set me free. Translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of his dear Son. They knew it. And once you taste it and see, you can't untaste and see. And so we thank God for it. The kingdom of light has come. He says, you have been translated. I have some good news and bad news. If you're not following Jesus, if your lifestyle is not following Jesus, there's a question as to whether you are born again. Now, I get it. None of us are perfect. You can battle. But if you have a repetitive lifestyle of walking in sin, you have to question that you are born again. Because John goes on and says, you can't make a lifestyle or a pattern of sinning. You can't. It's not possible. Holy Ghost, you will be convinced. Some of us used to be really good at sinning. But once you're born again, right? There's no condemnation, but hey, let's not make any games about this. If you are not born again, if you are not in the kingdom of light, there's only two kingdoms. You can be deceived. You are in the kingdom of darkness. You're actually dead. Turn with me to Ephesians. Let's go back. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. So turn to the left, and let's go to Ephesians. Make this clear biblically. In fact, this is a typo in number 4 there. We got some numbers transposed. That should not be Ephesians 8, 5 through 13. That should be Ephesians 5. You can look at 1 through 20, but let's look at, turn with me first to, let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. Paul makes this so clear. This was a church in revival. The Ephesus church at that time was, it's amazing, one of the most amazing scriptures written, I think, next to the book of Romans, Paul writes. Look at Ephesians chapter 1 in verse 1. I'm going to read out of the New Living Translation. I don't know how it gets any clearer than this. You can look at King James. I have a parallel Bible. I have both here. Ephesians 1, it's titled, Made Alive with Christ. Look at verse 1 of chapter 2 of Ephesians. Once you were dead. Once, chapter 2, verse 1. Ephesians 2, 1. Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. You used to live in sin, just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers of the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us, Paul's acknowledging this, all of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires, the inclination of the sinful nature. But our nature, we are subject to God's anger just like everyone else. But God. Woohoo! Verse 4, so rich in mercy. He loved us so much, even though we were dead because of our sin, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. Here's the blood shed on the cross, Revelation 12, the blood of the Lamb. It is the only by God's grace that we've been saved. For we, when he was raised from the dead, we were raised from the dead along with Christ and were seated with him in the heavenly realms. Do you realize this is again another one of those. The moment you come to Christ, you are translated to the kingdom of God, and you are seated spiritually at the right hand. You're seated with Christ in the heavenly realms. It's like, well, that's why your authority is from that realm, right? Satan was kicked out of that realm. Same word as paradise. So we see that We are seated with him in the heavenly realms, verse 6, verse 7. So, God can point to us in every future age as examples of the credible wealth, the incredible wealth of his grace, the kindness towards us as shown us that he's done this for us, that we're united with Christ. Now, here's the scripture that says, you can't be good enough. Verse 8. God saved us by grace when you believed. Free choice. You can't take credit for it. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for good things. We've all done, no. But you are a masterpiece. King James says it this way. Verse 8 says, "For by grace you are saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not by works, lest anybody would boast or brag." Or, and then it goes on and says, "Your workmanship, masterpiece." Lancelot, several times this week, told the children how special you are. All the lies that you hear from the kingdom of darkness that says, "You're not smart enough, you're not pretty enough, you're not like that one, you don't have what it takes, you're ugly, you're foolish, you're lies, why am I even here?" Why? Those are all lies from the kingdom of darkness, because he said, right, we're a masterpiece. We're a workmanship. Now, we may not be a finished product, right? He's working on us. James, it says in Philippians 1:6, he says, "He who began," Jesus, "who began a good work in you, he's performing it." He's chiseling away all the stuff that needs to get out of the way. How long did it take? Who's the guy who chiseled all the marble? Is that Michelangelo? Or help me, you artists. It said took years and years of chiseling marble for that guy to be able to make this masterpiece. Starts with a hunk of rock, and he starts chiseling. Sparks are flying, right? But he had a vision. God has a vision for your life and mine. You're a masterpiece. There are people sitting here today. We told the children, some of you are going to be pastors, lawyers, teachers, doctors, housewives. You're going to be fathers, mothers. You need to have a vision for your life and recognize, without Jesus, you can't do this. We can't do this without Jesus. I don't know how we ever tell people, And we know that Jesus didn't even begin his ministry. Now think about this. Son of God, sinless Son of God. He doesn't even start his ministry till he's 30 years old. That's what the rabbis had to be. And guess what the prerequisites he had? He had to be water baptized. Now wait, sinless Son. In fact, he argued, John the Baptist argued, Jesus, you should baptize me. No, John, it needs to be so. Because what happened? As soon as John put Jesus under the water, the scripture says the heavens were torn open, rent, and they've never been closed. And when the heavens were rent open, there was the Holy Spirit descending. John was told, when you see the Holy Spirit descend on the one, you will know he is the Messiah. And as soon as that, imagine John there, he puts the Son of God under the water, and all of a sudden there is a falling down of the Holy Spirit coming upon Jesus like a dove. John saw it. "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." And then it says, they heard a voice spoken from heaven, in the rented heaven. It says, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." The Father affirms his identity as sonship. He affirms his identity with the power of God. And then this is strange. It says, now Jesus, full of the Holy Ghost. I mean, he wasn't. Remember, Philippians tells us Jesus laid down his God power. He's fully God, he's fully man. But Philippians tells us he laid down his God power so that he could model for us what would it be like to be human filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. There's no big whoop to beat the devil as God. So don't put the devil up here and even with God. He's not. When this is over, it's like there even says in Isaiah, it says, "Is this the one who tormented the nations? This is going to be the shortest war in history." It says the breath of his word. Revelation 19 says the Son of God who comes on a white horse, right? He says, this is the one. He takes this devil and he locks him up in the barbecue pit for 1,000 years. I want to see that. We're going to be there for that one. And like, yay. And it was like, this is the one who tormented and caused all of. So don't put the devil up. The devil is not. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in this world. You have the ability to stand against the devil. Now, he'll lie to you and all that, but that's not the truth. So we see here, you were once dead. Turn back to chapter 5 of Ephesians. That's number 4. Before you were in darkness, but now you live as children of the light. We are the children of the light. So look at chapter 5, living in the light. Ephesians 5:1, imitate God, therefore, in everything you do. Wow. Whew, what does that look like? He healed the sick, cast out demons, fed the hungry, preached the word. Imitate God, dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice to God. Don't let sexual immorality, impurity, greed, obscene stories, foolish talk, coarse jokes. Some of the stuff we watch to entertain us, not a good thing. Not a good thing at all. Don't be fooled by those who try to excuse sin for anger. You know, this is what's going on in the world right now. They say good is evil and evil is good. No, we are also told that that would be the case. Verse 10, carefully determine what pleases the Lord. Take no part in worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, expose it. Well, Pastor, we got to stay in the church. You know, we don't want to offend anybody out there and talk about all kinds of sin and darkness. That's not what the word says. Well, I don't want to offend anybody. You might want to tell the truth in love. Don't love to tell the truth, but tell the truth in love, right? I don't agree with, you know, turn and burn, stand on the thing with you. If you're not going to go to hell, that ain't probably going to win anybody. But there is a place where seize the moment, that opportunity where you can share the word of truth. Take those opportunities. You'll be surprised when we go out in the restaurants. You'll be surprised. I get the testimonies all the time of what you're doing, where they ask the server or someone there, can I pray for you? Is there anything you need prayer for? I remember we went to a restaurant. I went to Carrabba's, and the Lord, our server there, I said, is there anything that we could pray for you for? She said, oh my, let me think about that. She came back later in tears. We prayed for her. I'm just telling you, there's an opportunity to share the truth. Number 5, seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness first. Seek the kingdom of God. This is Matthew 6:33. What does it look like to seek? You gotta put down the stuff that doesn't benefit. Paul says, well, maybe all things are possible, but not everything's profitable. There are some unprofitable things we need to set aside, seeking his kingdom. Number 6, reject every kind of evil and hate and cling to that which is good. Reject every kind of evil and cling to what is good. What sorrow awaits those who say that evil is good, number 7, and good is evil, that dark is light and light is dark. Isaiah 5:20. Overcome evil with good. Well, how do we do that? How do you overcome evil with good? Share the truth. How about help people that are in distress? Right? Help people that are hurting. If somebody's being bullied in school, you could help them, right? You could be a friend, right? You could pray for them. People that are sad, say, can I pray for you? I know Jesus. Do you know Jesus? You could tell them, I know Jesus. He can help you, right? That's what we do. And so for the adults, become knowledgeable. Get registered to vote. Understand the principles. What party is pushing forth? There's no perfect party. I get it. But the principles that are being professed in certain parties is absolutely wicked. There's none perfect in any of that. There's a lot of stuff on, but you got to decide. In fact, in the book of Hosea, it says, you put people in power, God says, that I did not approve. Right? You will be held accountable. Did you resist the devil? Did you resist evil? Or did you just go along with, well, you know, I don't want to offend anybody. We just stay here. Separation of church and state, that's a lie. That is not biblical, and it's not in the Constitution. So, look, my point is we have an opportunity to be the light bearers. We can't just preach light. We got to stand for light. And that then causes consequences when you come against, some of you know that very well, slander, gossip, judgment, curses. But Jesus said, they hated me. They will hate you, but guess what? At the end of this thing, when every one of us stands before God alone, you will stand before Christ alone. It says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. It is appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. You will stand before God alone and he will look at you. I told the kids this week, we want to be into the book of life, right? What happens at the end of this? There's books that are opened. It says in Revelation, it says in the book of Daniel, there's a book of life. And on the day that you stand before him, I believe there'll be an angel present. Now, whether he could do it, you know, with computer, I don't know how he does. He's going to do it all, right? You're going to open up the book of life, and they will find your name with your DNA probably in it because you're all different. And I'll say, no, this one's mine. This one doesn't know me. And there are some scary scriptures of people who did religious acts in Matthew, cast out demons, prophesied, called him Lord, says, I never knew you. What you did was unlawful, lawless, not authorized by him, not led by the Holy Spirit. Whatever your motive was not godly. Those are scary scriptures that ought to motivate us to, Lord, let this heart be true. Let the hypocrisy of anything that's in this, Lord, you got to work on that. So when we see overcome evil with good, number nine, we don't wrestle flesh and blood. This is that whole scripture we've been looking at, put on the whole armor of God. We're not wrestling flesh and blood. This evil that's operating right now in the earth, the stuff that you see and hear, the wickedness, the murders, the devil was a murderer from the beginning. So we have to put on the full armor of God and stand. So let's, all the kids know this one because we've been putting the armor on. So when we put on the helmet of salvation, it guards our thought life, right? And then he says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. So we need the word of God. When we don't know or we're hearing a lie, we have to put on the helmet of salvation and believe God, right? And we fight against. So that's why Paul says, take every thought captive and bring it into subjection to Christ. So you gotta, that sounds like a weary process. But every day you gotta take those thoughts captive that tries to come against you. Paul wrote that in Ephesians, in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 and 4. So, okay, so the helmet. Then we gotta walk in peace, which is the gospel of peace. That's the word. So that means when you walk into your classroom, you go to your house, you go to a party, you're walking in peace. And it says, blessed are the feet that carry that good news. When you walk into your school or your place, you just walked in. It's not like, oh, there might be darkness in here. No, there's light here, right? And so we walk in peace, which is the gospel of peace. And the Prince of Peace is Jesus. So we walk with Jesus, put on his shoes, and we walk with him. How about the belt of truth?
Yes.
Right? And the belt of truth is the Holy Spirit. He's the Spirit of truth that Jesus said, it's good I go away. John 14 and 16, he says, it's good I go away because I'm going to send Holy Spirit, God, Holy Spirit, one of the three in one, going to be in here. And when you come into Christ, Holy Spirit comes in your heart, right? Right. So now we walk in the Spirit and we can listen. And so if I don't know if that's true, you ever have some, I don't know what to do right now. You know what James 1:5 says? If you lack wisdom, you can ask God. So when you got God in your heart, you like, I don't know what to do now. Lord, I'm confused. Holy Spirit, what is the truth? I may need to look at my word. I may need to pray. I may need to wait. Sometimes I journal. Right now I'm journaling stuff. And then I wait. And then I get, oh, that's what you're doing. Okay. And then we be obedient. So that's the belt of truth. What is the sword of the Spirit? What is that? That's the word of God. Remember the sword? You should know about your sword. In fact, when you become an army man or Navy, you learn how to be a fighter, just like the knights learned how to do sword fighting, right? Well, they didn't just pick up, I know how to do it. No, they were taught. That word of God is full of living power. Hebrews 4:12. The word of God is full of living power. So you got to have the word of truth. I shared this with the kids. When I was in the hospital in January, they didn't know if I was, in fact, one of our nurses said, I was 1/10 of a degree from, where's Sarah Falk? I was 1/10 of a degree from being brain dead. 106.9, they said 107, right? And so I was 106.9 temperature, bacterial pneumonia, sepsis in the blood, blood clots. Like, whoa. And I thought, I said, what is that all about, Lord? I didn't know. But when I woke up and I was 9 days in the hospital after ICU, they put me in this room. That day, that night, I shared with the kids. They pulled back. I've never seen this before. I've read the scriptures. I had seen amazing miracles, tumors disappear, blind eyes, cripples walk, seen all that. I believed God. But that night, I didn't have my phone for my music to put on worship music in my room at 826 of the hospital. I didn't have my Bible because it just moved me from ICU. I hadn't eaten for days. I was weak. And that night, the devil tried to come and bring fear to me. And the Lord pulled back the veil. And I'm just telling you, like I just saw that movie, this is what I saw. I saw the demons and I saw the intimidation of fear. They would try to come, they would point at me, and I would quote the word of God. This is why you need the sword of the Spirit. I quoted things like Psalm 91, I live in the sheltered place of the Most High. I come under the shadow of the Almighty, that angels could be sent to take charge. One of the ones that was really scary when this, and I won't describe some of these things because it was then directed to me. I was watching, then it would come and direct to me. They were trying to open the door to fear. And throughout the night, I'm hearing code blues of people dying in that hospital. I can't tell you how many. But every time they'd come to get me to do a test on me, they'd have to cancel it because somebody else was dying. People were dying. When people die, where do you think those demons go? They leave the host and they find for a place where there's a door that's open. And all night long, I'm in a battleground phase. And I remember one of the situations, I quoted Luke chapter 10. I have given you full power and authority over all works of the devil. You can walk among the snakes and scorpions and you will crush them. In no way, no way, devil, can you injure me. And I'm quoting this to demons. It's like, I'm saying, what? But I had some issues. I said, Lord, can we talk a minute at the end of this thing? The next morning, Teresa came in, Pastor Willie came in, Nilsa came, people came in. And remember this, Teresa? I turned to her, I said, Teresa, do you have your oil? She goes, you know I got my oil. I said, good, because I saw things on the wall written that were vile and ugly, things that were there. I'm like, why is it? I don't know. The devil was working in my weakness to get me to operate in a door open of fear. The devil wanted to kill me, but I got people praying by the thousands praying for me, right? Prayer ratters. If he attacks one of us, he attacks all of us. Remember that? That's why you need family. That's why you got to be in the body of Christ. That's why you got to be connected, because they went and held a vigil for me that night. People all over the world were praying for me. And so what happened? Teresa came and said, Teresa, you see anything on that wall? Do you like red writing? She goes, where, Pastor? I go, well, I'll tell you what, put oil on it. Right there, put it there. She goes, as soon as she put the oil of the anointing on it, broke off everything in this room. I don't know how many people died in my room before me, right? But she brought the light, and then Pastor Willie and I came and prayed, and I saw Pastor Willie completely surrounded in the blood of Jesus. I'll tell you, I saw these things. You say, well, why? I don't know. The book says we'll see visions. But I did have this question. I said, Lord, where were the angels? I'm in this fight. Where are the angels? And I struggled with that for days. And then one day I got, let's just say I got clear direction from the Lord. I was in my, I'm like, where, Lord? Because you're sitting in the hospital 9 days, like, okay, I prayed for so many people. Oh my God. Anyway, so I was there with my word. And he goes, didn't I tell you I gave you dominion? Didn't I give you power and authority over all works of the darkness? So why would I not cause you to step in what I gave you? So this is like, well, I don't have any power. Yes, you do. If you walk in the kingdom, you just don't know what you have. So it was okay with me. I said, oh, okay. Now, I know that Jesus could have called in angels. I know that angels are here to assist us, right? Hebrews 1:14 says they are sent as ministering spirits to assist the ones who will be redeemed. We know in Psalm 91, it says, you can walk among those, crush them, but then it says he'll give his angels charge over you that you wouldn't dash your foot on a stone. So if you're about ready to slip and fall, there's some angels. How many of you have been close to death or see, how did I survive that? I remember Mama's testimony about the car and spinning around like, Jesus, how many times? We'll get to the end of this thing and we'll realize, where were you, God? Well, let me show you the clip. My angel was right here. He moved that car like this. He took that thing, moved it over. We're going to find out that Jesus has marked us and covered us. That's where the angels are. So what's my point? There is a kingdom of darkness and there is a kingdom of light. And where you end up in this thing at the end of this journey is what choice did you make? It can't get any clearer in Scripture. If you're not a born-again believer, you are spiritually dead. And there's only one place you're going to end up because you can't be good enough. But there is one who is. And he died for us. And he loves us. And he's not mad at us. So I want to end this thing this morning. We've already prayed for, Lord, we need strength. We need your strength to overcome because this battle is real. We can't belittle these battles. But in the battle, we stand together. And no matter how it ends up, when we choose to follow him, no matter where it goes, God is always good. It may not look good to you. So when I ever get into battle, I ask the Lord, Lord, is there any doors I got to open? Anything that would authorize the devil to kill, steal, and destroy? Because rebellion is the sin of witchcraft, 1 Samuel 15. So when you rebel against the word of God, you lie, you cheat, you steal, you smoke dope, you get drunk, you be not drunk with wine, it'll destroy your whole life. When you rebel and you open the door and then you get mad at God for the consequences, that's like, huh? Well, God, why'd you let me get pregnant? Well, because you were messing around. Well, I got children here. So you get my point. People say, why did God let this happen? Well, why did you not follow God? Come on, parents, you know this. You tell the two-year-old, don't touch the stove. Don't touch the stove. You don't love me, Mommy. I told you not to touch the stove. There are consequences to our rebellion. And there's only one way through this thing is to accept Christ and study his word. So let's stand. I thank the Lord for his truth that is so incredible. So here's a thought I had to kind of end this thing as the kingdom of light. You realize that different light bulbs have different wattage, right? So you could get a night light, which has like 5 watts. You could get a 60-watt bulb. How about those three-way lights, right, that go from 60 to right up, right? You could get a spotlight. What about a searchlight? Wow, big ones, right? So the question right now is, what kind of wattage you got going on? How light is your light? We can ask him for more light, an opportunity to share that light. Now, with that, you'll get some pushback. But I'm believing that all of us would like some more power in that light. I want it. I want to get at the end of this journey. I want to finish well. And I want to stand there before him and say, well done. So let's bow our heads. Lord, I thank you, Holy Spirit. I thank you that your word is inspiring to us. It convicts us. It doesn't condemn us because Romans 8:1 says there isn't any condemnation if you're in Christ Jesus. But he also says, I invite you because your choice. So maybe if there's anyone here this morning that you realize, you know, I've been kind of not walking in the right place totally. There's some areas that I want to set that free. If you're here and you're saying, Lord, I need more power to overcome, just close your eyes. If that's you, Jesus said this, "If you will acknowledge me before men, I will acknowledge you before my Father in heaven. And whoever believes in me." So if you're here and you're saying, I need more of God's power to overcome a particular battleground in my life, just raise your hand and I want to see it. I see it. Put it down. Okay. I believe we've all got areas. I don't know how the devil plays you, but there's a reason he says, take up your cross daily and follow me. You've got to resist the flesh and you got to resist the devil. And you got to know the weapons are different. You can't cast out your flesh and you can't counsel the demon. You fight and cast out the demon and you kill your flesh. Not literally, but maybe. You get my point. So Lord, right now, Father, I thank you. You saw the hands that says, I need power to overcome this struggle that I'm in. But if you're here this morning and you say, Lord, I want more wattage from the kingdom of light so that I can be a testimony. Why don't you raise your hand? The Lord sees it. Lord, we want you to increase the power so that we know, it says, Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the word of power unto life. And there are people in your sphere, I don't know where they get this number, it says there are at least at this moment 70 people that you have some influence or connection with in your sphere, at work, at school, at home. Those 70 people are watching you. How do you react? How do you respond? That doesn't mean you give them everything they need. In fact, sometimes when you tell them the truth, truth is hard. But Lord, I thank you that I ask you to increase Holy Spirit power. In James 1:5, he says we can ask him when we need that wisdom. In Acts chapter 1, the whole chapter of Acts, he said, Jesus said, don't leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift that I told you about. And when the Holy Spirit comes, that gift comes, you will become my witnesses. You will contain power to be my witness. Whether it's here in Colombia, Honduras, Mozambique, Nepal, the uttermost parts of the earth, or right here at Walmart, we carry this light. Lord, I ask now that you would allow all these, you're all missionaries of the gospel of light, that when you walk out of here, you carry the light. May there be an awareness that I carry this truth in me. First, we thank God for it for us personally. But the Holy Spirit, John in Acts chapter 8 says, came upon them. The believers, the Holy Spirit came upon them. They were already believers because then they've got power to become. So Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, right now, empower your people. And we thank you, Lord. I ask now for those that are going to be water baptized today who stand as a witness that I want to be baptized in water and let the old man die. Let this old sinful nature go under the water and stay there. Katergeo is the Greek word. And it means I'm putting the old man out of business. He's fired. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. So if you're here this morning and you need more prayer, I want to invite the ministry team to come. Don't leave here without having prayer if you need additional prayer. And then when you're getting baptized, if you didn't sign up, that we want to make sure you get a baptismal certificate on this day. So let me bless the food right now. Lord, I bless the food that you're going to give us, Lord, all those that are preparing it. Lord, I pray a time of blessing for all the games, all the time. Thank you as we close out the Vacation Bible School as keepers of the kingdom. I thank you, Lord, for the seeds that you planted this week. May they grow into huge, beautiful trees. And we thank you now in Jesus' name. God bless you. Amen. Thank you for being here.
We hope you are blessed by this message. We encourage you to tune in wherever you get your podcasts. And we invite you to come as you are and join us at Global River Church, Sundays at 10 a.m. Grace be with you in Jesus' name.